This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, several years ago on Cross Hope, we used a humorous introduction to a message. We talked about how parenting oftentimes is 2-3-4-word sentences. Pick up your clothes, brush your teeth, brush your hair, turn down the radio, turn down the TV. And we had a laugh listening to those analogies. But then we made the application that so much of Christianity is 2-3-4-word phrases. Love one another. Forgive as Christ forgave you. Be faithful unto death. That's what we talk about today, faithfulness, as we begin a message by talking about the words of an old song by Don Francisco about being faithful to your wife, being faithful to your husband, being faithful to your family and to the body of Christ. Let's begin this message on faithfulness from 1 Corinthians today. It's in first person. Jesus is speaking in this song. It doesn't matter that you know the Bible if it's all just in your head. What I need to ask you, have you done the things I said? I don't care if you pray for miracles. I don't care if you speak with tongues. I don't care if you say you love me in every song you've sung. It doesn't matter that your sacrifice of praise is loud enough to raise the dead. What I need to ask you is, have you done the things I said? Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? How about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widows and the orphans cry alone? What I need to ask you is this. Have you done the things I said? Have you done the things I said? Today we're going to look at a passage in the book of 1 Corinthians, exactly where I left off last week as we simply systematically preach through this book of the Bible, where the Apostle Paul says there's just one word that you're going to be judged on when you stand before God, and it's not the word successful, it's not the word achiever, it's not accomplisher, it's the word faithful. Someday, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, just like I am. And the issue is going to be basically one word. Were you faithful? Faithful to the Lord God who made you. The God who created you, the God who bought you with His blood, the God who sustains you through life and is the life giver. Were you and are you faithful to the Lord? And folks, that's all that ultimately matters is the word faithful. Let's read it as I read from 1 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 1. Paul says, "So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and those entrusted with secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent." Underline that verse if you underline in your Bible. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God.
Well, I mentioned this recently in another message on Cross Hope. From time to time, I have a sense that a message I'm giving is really important for the listener. That's you and me. This message on faithfulness may be just one of the most important messages you've heard in a long time because it impacts your family, your marriage, your children, your church. It impacts everything about you. Our website is crosshope.org.
We have forgotten about the first Gulf War. Most of us have. February 1991. It's a blur now because of all that's happened with the war now in Iraq and Afghanistan. But reaching back into my memory from those days in 1991, I remember that the first casualties of the ground war with the first war with Iraq
were 11 Marines. 11 Marines who lost their lives, and the sad part about it, if my memory serves, is this, is that it was determined that they were actually killed by friendly fire, which makes it all the more horrendous. Killed by friendly fire instead of the enemy. And I thought about that. I remember thinking about that week when it happened, and I shared the next Sunday in the church in Columbus. The motto of the United States Marines is Semper Fidelis, and our shortened version is Semper Fi, which is simply means two words, always faithful. Folks, if that can be the motto of one of the services of the United States of America, why shouldn't it be your motto? As a believer in Jesus Christ, two words, always faithful. You want to do something radical with your life as a man? Be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Be a faithful husband and father. That's radical. You want to do something radical as a woman and be a faithful believer in Jesus Christ, a faithful servant of Christ, and be a faithful wife and a faithful mother. That is radical. You want to do something radical with your life as a teenager, as a young person, as a college student, high school, junior high, be faithful to Jesus Christ. That's radical. That is radical. And Paul says it's given to us, the people who hold the trust, two words, to be found faithful. I'm going to look at some of the other verses and then focus in on the key verse, verse 2. But I want to bring up verse 1 if we could. So men ought to regard us as servants of Christ, as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Paul could have identified himself as an apostle, but he doesn't. It's intriguing to me. He calls himself a servant. And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Here's the big deal when you understand what the word servant really meant. I found out in this case, it's the word that literally would refer to a person who was referred to as an under rower. That doesn't mean anything to most people. Do you remember the movie Ben-Hur? Remember the scene where Charlton Heston, I think, is portrayed in the movie where he's a galley slave in a ship, and there's the guy beating the drums at the front of the ship, and there's all these people stripped to the waist, you know, pulling back on these oars. That's the term, under rower, the people who were in the bottom of the boat rowing the ship. Can you believe it? That's what Paul calls himself. I'm just an under rower in the kingdom of God. What was that a sign of? Humility. Paul didn't lord it over people and say, I am the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm the under rower in the kingdom of God. It wasn't false humility. I believe he meant it. The highest office in the body of Christ is servant. It's not minister. It's not elder. It's not deacon. It's not bishop this or bishop that. The highest office in the body of Christ is to say, I'm a servant. I'm an under rower in the kingdom of God. And I think that's an important lesson for all of us to take to heart. Let's bring up verse 4, if we may. I want to talk about this verse because it's really important. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me.
Folks, we'll continue this thought about your conscience tomorrow on Cross Hope. This is a very sensitive area in people's lives because you've had people that have hurt you only to say later, well, my conscience is clear. You may have done the same thing to someone else. We'll talk about that tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless.
My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Have you ever said, I have, my conscience is clear in this situation? Maybe somebody accused you of something and you said, well, I'll tell you one thing, my conscience is clear. Or you talk to somebody about something they've done to you and they say, well, my conscience is clear in the matter. You know what I've discovered? I'll share this little secret with you. My conscience is very partial to one person. Do you know who that is? Me. Your conscience is partial to you. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been hurt deeply by another person who said, my conscience is clear? Yes, you have. Have you ever hurt somebody and said, my conscience is clear? Yes, you have, and so have I. And Paul's point is just having a clear conscience in itself doesn't hold weight with the Lord. The Lord is the judge. And all my point is in telling that is this. Don't hold your conscience up as the final arbiter in every situation. Your conscience can mislead you.
just as mine has. It can be very partial to you. It can overlook things in your life that you wouldn't overlook in somebody else. You sure wouldn't overlook it in a brother or sister, but you overlook it in your life. We're very partial to the things we do in our life. We're very lenient, oftentimes, with one person, and that's us. I think that's a powerful lesson to share. We could bring up verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. The Lord not only looks at what we do, the Lord looks at the motives. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done the right thing for the wrong reason? Let me ask that again. Have you ever done the right thing for the wrong reason? Yes, so have I. There are times in life when we do good things, but the motive is praise. The motive is I'll be recognized for this. The motive is that someone will appreciate me more. We've all done that. And all I'm saying about it is this, is the Lord not only looks at what we do, he looks at the motive of our hearts. And the time will come, Paul said, when the motives that of things we do will be exposed. Now, let's go back to verse 2 and focus on this. This is where the central theme of the message is. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I want to talk about what it means to be given a trust. If you are married, you have been given a trust. It's called your wife, your husband, your marriage. Be faithful. If you have children, you have been given a trust. The Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord, which means what? They're a gift. We don't earn our children. The Lord doesn't look at somebody and say, well, you look like you deserve 5 kids. Maybe some of you think it was punishment if to have that number of kids. I still marvel at Annie's family having 13 children. And her mom did not want to go into double digits. She wanted to stop at 9. She didn't want to have that 10th. And she had 10, and then she had Annie, the 11th. I'm glad she had 11, at least. And that's where I got my wife from, the 11th of 13 children. But children are a trust. Children are a trust. Be faithful. If you have a job, you've been given a trust. If you have a house, you've been given a trust. If you have a car, you've been given a trust. What's my point? Everything is a trust. And get this. Even your life, your years on this earth is a trust. And those who have been given a trust must be found faithful. All of life is a gift. I want to bring up a scripture that parallels this. 1 Peter 4. It goes like this. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. We'll offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. That means be hospitable, but don't complain about it later. Don't have people in your house and say, well, we had to feed those buzzards last Sunday, and glad we got rid of them. The next verse, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. What is all of that saying? Everyone's been given something. Everyone in this room has been given a gift. You've been given a trust. You've been given a talent. You've been given a spiritual gift, and the Lord says, be found faithful with those gifts. And you know what today might be the good day to do is to say, Lord, thank you for what you've given me. I realize that even today is a trust that I haven't earned. I haven't even earned tomorrow, but tomorrow will be a trust that you will give me. And the Lord says, you and I are to be found faithful with the trust that the Lord has placed in our hands. R.C. Foster was a professor at Cincinnati Bible College and Seminary when I was a student. He was revered. I mean, if there was one professor that we stood in awe of, it was R.C. Foster. His son, Lewis, would become one of the translators of the NIV, the version of the Bible that many of us use. But R.C. was his father, and when he walked by, I mean, we just stood at attention. When R.C. Foster walked by, he commanded that kind of respect. He was visiting a church one day, and the man who was the worship leader noticed that R.C. Foster was in the audience, so he picked out of the hymn book a hymn that he thought was R.C. Foster's favorite in honor. He said, "This is for Professor Foster, who's here today. It's his favorite hymn." As the service was over, R.C. Foster went out the door and thanked the worship leader for leading that song. He said, "I appreciate it, but that's not my favorite hymn. It's one of my favorites, but it's not my favorite." So the worship leader said, "Well, Professor Foster, what is your favorite hymn?" And he said, "It's the hymn, I Would Be True. I Would Be True." Listen to the lyrics of that song. "I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there is much to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. I would be faithful through each passing moment. I would be constantly in touch with God. I would be strong to follow where He leads me. I would have faith to keep the path Christ trod. May none then call on me for understanding. May none then turn to me for help in pain, and drain alone his bitter cup of sorrow, or find he knocks upon my heart in vain. I would be true, for there are those who trust me."
Well, I mentioned it earlier in the message that the word faithful, or the words found faithful, just may be the most important words in your marriage, in your family, in your career, in your education. You say, why? What else matters if you're not faithful? Does being successful matter if you're not faithful? No. Does being an achiever matter if you're not faithful? I don't think so, ultimately. Being found faithful is the ultimate compliment from the Lord God Almighty. Our website is crosshope.org. Well, if you saw a recent movie called Darkest Hour about the life of Winston Churchill, you may remember the line where Winston Churchill lectures his staff with this point: you can't reason with a tiger when your head is in its mouth. People laughed at that line in the theater, but it was really a true statement. Here was a man with great observations politically and even spiritually. And about the end of his life, he made some powerful statements that I want to share with you as we close this message on being found faithful.
1955, June, I think was the month, Winston Churchill, who was then near the end of his life, was asked to give a commencement address at a British university. At this time, he was physically infirm. He had to be helped to the podium. Then he held on to the podium for what seemed an unbelievable length of time. He stood with his head down, but then finally raised that great head of his, and the voice that years before had called Britain back from the brink of destruction sounded publicly for the last time in history. And here's all he said at this commencement address: never give up. Never give up. Never, never, never give up. With that, Churchill turned and went back to his seat. John Claypool, who writes this, said, "I'm told there was silence, and then as if one person, the whole audience rose to applaud him, because here was a man whose life and words were together at one moment." Again and again, through Churchill's political career, he had known setbacks. Three times his career was apparently over. He was sent off to oblivion, and yet somehow he had a sense that there was still something left to do, even after the worst. Never, never give up. If I were to leave you one message from Scripture, it would be these words: never give up being faithful. You can give up a lot of things in life, and life will go on. You can give up a lot of physical things, and life goes on. You can give up some things in life that are important to you or important to other people and may not matter in terms of eternity, but never give up being faithful to the Lord. Why? Because Paul said it's been required of those who've been given a trust, you and me, to be found faithful. Someday, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to be patted on the back for all the good things we've done necessarily, but just to hear these words: faithful. Found faithful. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray together. Father, in a day of unfaithfulness, a day when people laugh at faithfulness, when people mock being faithful to your family, mock being faithful to a job, mock being faithful to a country, mock being semper fi, always faithful, we realize that's the call today. That's what you're calling us to do as believers in Jesus Christ, not to be successful, but to be faithful. Not to be smart, but to be faithful. Not to be intelligent, but to be faithful. Realizing that that's the requirement, that a servant has been entrusted as someone who is trusted with a trust and someday must be found faithful. Lord, may that be said of every man, every woman, every young person in this room. There's a man or woman here today. I don't have any idea who they are, but you're speaking to them. That's the words that you want in their life. I know that because your word convicts. Your word speaks to all of us today. Lord, thank you for this worship service. Thank you for this invitation time right now as people can come and say, I need Jesus Christ in my life. I need prayer in my life. My family needs prayer. I pray for people to come in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.